Well, the uprising in Egypt has been a particularly sticky situation for the United States, as officials here walk the tightrope between supporting Hosni Mubarak's government and supporting the citizens' right to protest. You know, on one hand, this is a government that gets $1.5 billion in assistance from the U.S. government. It's assistance that the Obama administration now says could be under review. Also new tonight, a report out, though, that the U.S. may have had much more to do with this uprising than anyone previously imagined. WikiLeaks has released secret U.S. diplomatic dispatches that show an activist in Cairo working with the American embassy there, who revealed a plan by opposition groups to overthrow President Hosni Mubarak and install a democratic government this year in 2011. So, the question is this: is America's secret backing of rebel leaders behind the majority of this uprising? For more, we're joined by investigative journalist Webster Tarpley. Webster, should this information come as a shock?
Well, we know that WikiLeaks is being used as self-exposure by different intelligence agencies, sometimes by CIA, sometimes by MI6, so we don't know which particular kitchen this came from. The Daily Telegraph says that the entire plan was cooked up in the United States in the year 2008. Maybe, could be, but the former colonial power, in this case the United Kingdom, is always the prime suspect, and I think we can look at them, especially the ability of the British to speak through Al Jazeera, which they influence very, very heavily. Those little emirates in the Gulf where Al Jazeera comes from are all British creations, right, going back 100 years. But I think what we have, obviously, is the CIA, no doubt about it. They are playing the card of mob rule. The technical term is ochlocracy across the entire Arab world. It looks to me like a va-banque, right? It's a double or nothing strategy. They seem to be shooting the works for destabilization.
But why would U.S. officials, and as you say, the CIA, be working so hard, a three-year plan, as you say, to overthrow a government that they kind of worked pretty well with?
Well, Mubarak is not dependent enough. He's not dependent enough on NATO. He's not dependent enough on the IMF. Above all, they're looking for some kind of energetic regimes that could be played against Iran or for other purposes. They're also trying to appeal to this generation of young nihilists across the Arab world whose imaginations have been captured by Assange. Now, underneath that, there are real grievances: the food price, the gasoline price, the unemployment. But those really have more to do with the Wall Street depression than with somebody like Mubarak. Then, of course, there is the question of political oppression and repression, which has been going on in Egypt. On the other hand, you look at the double standard. If you burn a bank in Greece, you're a villain. If you burn the party headquarters in Cairo, you're a hero of
democracy,
of course. Now, in the middle of this, it would seem that Mubarak is fighting back. That looked to be a fairly self-assured speech that he just made. The Egyptian government has taken the radical step of simply turning off the internet. Langley is howling. Langley said, "We didn't realize anybody could do this." They've simply cut off the 5 or 6 internet service providers, so there's no Twitter, no Facebook.
The internet, we should mention, for those who haven't been following this closely, the internet has been a major way in which a lot of these protesters and dissidents have been organizing, have been saying, "Let's meet here. This is why we should be angry."
Right. Facebook, go here to fight Twitter. The police. I mean, it appeals to this sort of anarchist street fighting mentality. The other thing that the British and the U.S. have been using is Al Jazeera. That right now seems to be the main channel that you can turn to get the update, right? Because you can't get Twitter and these other things. Interestingly, Hillary Clinton and Robert Gibbs come out and say, "Mr. Mubarak, turn on the internet, turn on Twitter, turn on Facebook." In other words, the desire is the U.S. to be able to funnel their pseudo-reality into the situation to increase the destabilization.
We did hear from both Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Robert Gibbs today. We just heard from President Obama recently. His speech seemed very, very short. It's very interesting to watch them because there's not a lot of specifics coming out of what they're saying. They're walking the tightrope. They're treading very carefully because no one really knows how's this going to end. Regardless of how it does end, the U.S. is going to sort of have to work with whoever takes over.
Well, let's see. Right now, the obvious gambit for the United States, traditionally in regard to Egypt, is wheat and bread. If you want to destabilize Egypt, it's a country that's traditionally heavily dependent on wheat imports and the bread price. These are subsidized by the government. It's a very good policy that they have to keep stability. Since 1970s, when they had some bread riots, they keep the price of bread and wheat and cooking oil and fuels low. If the U.S. cuts off the wheat, that will be a cynical stab in the back of an ally, an And I don't know who's going to believe anything the U.S. says in the Middle East from then on. The army and the police, they seem to be supporting Mubarak. He's a fighter pilot. He's a military guy. If you look at the possible solutions, Mubarak could stay, but he's not going to stay too long. You could have him abdicating in favor of his son Gamal, who might come with a reform agenda. You could have a Romanian succession with personalities drawn from inside the regime, or not from the Mubarak dynasty. Or you could have chaos. Now, if you have that, you might get the Muslim Brotherhood, the Ikhwan. Now, that's a British intelligence creation from the 1920s, which is...
It's been around for a long time, though, this opposition group.
And their policy is essentially to oppose modernity. At least that's the basic thing that they did against Nasser in the 50s and 60s. Some of those factions in there may have mellowed, but still, this is quite a leap in the dark. The other thing, though, is look at the weakness of the U.S. The U.S. could not determine the government in Iraq, even though the U.S. is occupying the country. They wanted Alawi. They got Maliki, the pro-Iranian. In Lebanon, the U.S. has tremendous influence, right? That's another country that's heavily aid-dependent. In this case, the new government is more controlled by Hezbollah than by the United States. So it would seem to me now that we're going to find out soon enough whether the weakness of the U.S. has reached such a point that they can no longer overthrow a government like Egypt. And, of course, in Iran, in June and July of 2009, there was an attempt to have the Twitter revolution, yet another color revolution. That one failed. Similarly in Lebanon. Whenever you're dealing with a well-organized force that opposes the color revolution, the CIA people power coup has a very, very hard time in succeeding. If the army and the police continue to support Mubarak and the internet stays turned off, then it looks to me like the smart bet is probably that this is not going to be a cakewalk for these demonstrators. And The other question, of course, is what's their program? Do they have any solutions for anything? Their solution seems to be down with Mubarak. Some people would say that if the Muslim Brotherhood gets the upper hand, the army might step in. Some people in the demonstration seem to want the army to take over, but that would simply be a new Mubarak.
All right, investigative journalist Webster Tarpley.